So we'll recite the 19th one. Tattvanam parishankhyanam. Tattvanam parisankhyanam. Lakshanam hetu lakshanam. Purusharadhana vidhir. Yogasya adhyatmikasya cha. Tattvanam parisankhyanam. Lakshanam hetu lakshanam. Purusharadhana vidhir. Yogasya adhyatmikasya cha. Tattvanam parisankhyanam. Lakshanam hetu lakshanam. Purusharadhana vidhir. Yogasya adhyatmikasya cha. Tattvanam parisankhyanam. Lakshanam hetu lakshanam. Purusharadhana vidhir. Yogasya adhyatmikasya cha. Tattvanam parisankhyanam. Lakshanam hetu lakshanam. Tattvanam parisankhyanam. Lakshanam hetu lakshanam. Purusharadhana vidhir. Yogasya adhyatmikasya cha. Tattvanam parisankhyanam. Lakshanam hetu lakshanam. Word to word meanings. Tattvanam, of the elements that constitute the creation. Parisankhyanam, of the number of such elements. Lakshanam, symptoms. Hetu lakshanam, the symptoms of the causes. Purusha, of the Lord. Aradhana, of devotional service. Vidhihi, rules and regulations. Yogasya, of cultivation of the yoga system. Adhyatmikasya, spiritual methods leading to devotional service. Cha, also. Translation. Kindly explain all about the elementary principles of creation, the number of such elementary principles, their causes and their development, and also the process of devotional service and the method of mystic powers. Since there is no purport for this shloka, I will just recite 20th verse. Yogeshvaira aishvarya gatir linga bhangastu yoginam vedopaveda dharmanam itihasa puranayo. What are the opulence of the great mystics and what is their ultimate realization? How does the perfect mystic become detached from the subtle astral body? What is the basic knowledge of the Vedic literatures, including the branches of history and the supplementary Puranas? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Yogeshwara or the master of mystic powers can exhibit 8 kinds of wonders of perfection by becoming smaller than the atom or lighter than a feather, getting anything and everything he desires, going anywhere and everywhere he likes, creating even a planet in the sky, etc. There are many Yogeshwaras having different proficiencies in these wonderful powers, and the topmost of all of them is Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the greatest yogi, and he can perform such wonderful things far beyond the ordinary living beings. The devotees of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, do not directly practice the process of mystic powers, but by the grace of the Lord, his devotee can defeat even a great Yogeshwara like Durvasa Muni, who picked a quarrel with Ambarish, Maharaj Ambarish, and wanted to show the wonderful achievements of his mystic powers. Maharaj Ambarish was a pure devotee of the Lord, and thus, without any effort on his part, the Lord saved him from the wrath of Yogeshwara, Durvasa Muni. And the latter was obliged to beg pardon from the king. Similarly, at the time of Draupadi's precarious position, when she was attacked by the Kurus, who wanted to see her naked in the open assembly of the royal order, the Lord saved her from being stripped by supplying an unlimited length of sari to cover her. And Draupadi knew nothing of mystic powers. Therefore, the devotees are also Yogeshwaras by the ultimate power of the Lord. Just as a child is powerful by the strength of the parents, they do not try to protect themselves by any artificial means, but are saved by the mercy of the parents. Maharaj Parikshit inquired from the learned Brahmana, Shukdev Goswami, about the ultimate destination of such great mystics, or how they attain such extraordinary powers by their own efforts or by the grace of the Lord. He inquired also about their detachment from subtle and gross material bodies. He inquired also about the purpose of the Vedic knowledge. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, the whole purpose of all Vedas is to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become a transcendental loving servant of the Lord. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shrivasadhi Gaur Bhakta Brindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Grim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Hare Krishna. We welcome all of you for our daily Srimad Bhagavatam class. So, and before I begin, I would like to seek blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, and also would like to seek blessings from those who are watching online, so that I can speak something for my own purification and also for the benefit of others. Since Srimad Bhagavatam is so potent, it can purify the hearer also. And there is the hope that, you know, even though I am not qualified, but definitely it will be benefited to each and everyone. Hare Krishna. So all of us, we are looking for happiness in this world. Anyone here who is not looking for happiness? Everyone, right? By default. And that is the nature of the soul also. Anandamaya Abhyasad. So at the end of the day, whatever we do in this world, what we want is happiness. It can be from any means. So happiness can be, you know, can be at different levels. The first level could be happiness at the level of senses. I want to eat something tasty. I want to hear some music. I want to watch some videos. I want to see the nature. I want to touch something soft. I want to smell something which is fragrant, right? At the level of senses. That is very lowest level we can see. And then there is happiness at the level of mind also, right? We want to achieve something, creativity, through arts, paintings, you know, people become so absorbed in, you know, a lot of creative activities like painting, you know, poetry, so many things. And they also get the sense of happiness through that. And then comes the happiness at the level of intelligence, where we, you know, solve some of the problems of this world, like scientists, they do. They come with so many inventions. So that is also a level of happiness. And then there is level of happiness at the level of soul, which is what we are all hankering for. Because all the three which I mentioned before, they cannot satisfy the heart. Ultimately, it is the happiness at the level of the soul that can give us satisfaction. Right? Savai pumsan paro dharmo yato bhaktir adokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasiddhati. The final, the ultimate happiness and satisfaction we can get is by performing bhakti unto Krishna, adokshaja. And to achieve these different levels of happiness, there are different methods also that is mentioned in the scriptures. Like we have karma kanda, where people are engaged in a lot of ritualistic activities based on scriptures. And the goal is only enjoyment. Some enjoyment. But there is also enjoyment where there is no reference to the scriptures also. Animalistic. Just want to enjoy this world by any means. So we have karma, the path of karma. And then we have jnana marg also, where people are speculating on their who we are, who the Supreme Lord is. Right? By cultivating knowledge and renunciation. Then we also have the yogic path, where the yogi is trying to meditate. There are many people who meditate on something, some different things also, like meditation on void, meditation on some concentric circles, right? So people meditate on so many aspects, but in scriptures it is mentioned that meditation, the object of meditation is Lord Vishnu, right? So we have yogic path. So, but all these paths, when they are connected with, when the word yoga is connected to that, where we are, there is a union with Krishna, union with the Lord. There is a connection with the Lord. Then it becomes karma yoga, jnana yoga, right? Dhyana yoga and bhakti yoga. So bhakti yoga is the path where activities are performed based on scriptures to please the Supreme Lord. Right? No other objective. Only to please the Supreme Lord Krishna. So we see typically this yoga ladder. On the yoga ladder we have different steps, different rungs of the yoga ladder. Beginning with, even below the first rung there is animalistic life which I mentioned. And then comes karma yoga, we have sakama karma yoga and nishkama karma yoga. Right? Sakama karma yoga, where we are performing activities to get something in return. I want something back. And then nishkama karma yoga, where we are performing activities with detachment. Right? And then jnana marg, jnana yoga, where there is cultivation of knowledge and renunciation based on scriptures. And there is also speculation done. And then ashtanga yoga. And finally, everything culminates in bhakti yoga. So, many people get confused. Are these paths different? Like, this is different path, that is different path. So, just to explain this, for example, if you have a train ticket from Mumbai to Pune, so there are various stations in between Mumbai and Pune. Like, we have Kalyan Junction and then Karjat comes and then Lonavala and then finally Pune Junction comes. So a person might buy a ticket for Pune, right? And he may go to Pune also. That's okay. But he may also want to get down at some other place, even though he has the ticket for Pune. And there will be people like who may purchase ticket only till Karjat or Lonavala, because they want to get down there. They are attached to that. So similarly, So this, the path is like it's continuous path. But based on our aspirations, based on the path that we follow, so the destination may change, right? But ultimately the culmination happens in bhakti yoga, where there is highest fulfillment for the soul, right? So but without the tinge of bhakti yoga, neither karma yoga nor jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga can become successful. Some element of bhakti yoga has to be there in that, right? Otherwise it doesn't become successful. And then we also have mixed kind of processes also. Like even though we are on the path of bhakti yoga, it can be mixed. Bhakti yoga mixed with karma, bhakti yoga mixed with jnana, right? So that is also possible. So this mixture also may result in different destinations. So here in the purport, so I will just focus on the purport given by Srila Prabhupada, where he is speaking about the superiority of bhakti yoga over ashtanga yoga. So ashtanga yoga is being discussed. What is the destination for the ashtanga yogis? That is what the questions, some of the questions which are asked by Parikshit Maharaj. So we'll briefly discuss about ashtanga yoga, then how bhakti yoga is superior to ashtanga yoga, and then we'll discuss one classic example which Prabhupada himself mentions in the purport. So ashtanga yoga, initially given by Lord himself, Lord Kapila, in Canto 3, right, who is the highest authority on yoga. So he gives the yoga system which is based on 8 limbs, and then Patanjali also later expanded. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahar, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. So 8 limbs of Ashtanga Yoga. So if you see yoga practices in today's world, people are hardly practicing the whole set. So they are just taking the subset. Maybe asanas or pranayama at the most. No one even is focusing on the yama and niyama. So directly on asana and pranayama. But then if you really want to get the benefit, the ultimate benefit of performing ashtanga yoga, then we have to follow all the 8 limbs. Otherwise, it's not possible. So this yogic process is based on restriction from sense enjoyment and meditation, right? So Prabhupada mentions restricting a diseased person from certain types of eatables is very difficult. People does not like to follow that. But at the same time, they don't even lose the taste. So that is also another problem. So it is very difficult in that sense, especially in this age of Kali Yuga. So I mentioned these 8 limbs, yama, regulations we have to follow, niyama, some of the observances that we have to follow. And then comes asana, yogic postures. So pranayama, controlling the breath so that we can control the mind through breath control. And then pratyahara, where we are slowly withdrawing from the sense objects. We are withdrawing the senses from the sense objects. So we are not getting into fulfilling the desires of the senses. So slowly we are on the path of controlling the senses. And then comes dharana, concentration, and then meditation, dhyana and samadhi, complete absorption in the Supreme Lord. But this Ashtanga Yoga given by Kapila Muni, the target of this yoga meditation is Lord Vishnu, no one else, clearly mentioned. So if you see this Ashtanga Yoga process, it can be divided into 2 parts. First 4 can be one part and the second 4 can be the second part. So first part is called as Yoga Rurukshu, where the focus is more on the physical aspect of the whole process, trying to control the mind and senses through yogic postures, pranayama, and following the regulations, do's and don'ts. And then comes the yoga ruda stage, wherein the yogi is trying to go inward, introspecting, going inside. The more work has to be done with the mind in the second stage, yoga ruda stage. But there is also an intermediate stage where after the yoga rurukshu stage, one cannot directly jump to yoga ruda stage. So there is a time wherein the yogi has to practice Nishkama Karma Yoga for some time before he can actually give up the activity. So it cannot be done superficially. So once he feels that he is completely free from desires of sense enjoyment, then he can go to the next stage where he can focus inward, going right. So, but by practice of all these stages, the goal is, the target is Lord Vishnu, as I mentioned, Paramatma, meditating on the Paramatma. But then what is the problem with this Ashtanga Yoga is, a yogi, if he has properly practiced this process of Ashtanga Yoga, then he may get the Sayujya Mukti, merging in the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, or at the most he can get the Paramatma realization. Like God can be realized in three aspects, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So the distinction could be either merging into the Brahman effulgence, or it can be Paramatma realization also. But there are intermediate results also which the yogi might get allured with. That is mystic powers. Prabhupada mentions about this mystic powers in his Parapada also. So this can also become an obstacle on the path of completion of the Ashtanga Yoga process. Right? So there are mystic powers. Everyone is trying to seek some power, influence and strength in this world so that he can exploit people of this world. Right? So there are 8 mystic powers that is mentioned. There are many, but 8 are very prominent, which Prabhupada also mentions. Siddhis like Anima Siddhi, you know, which refers to becoming smaller than the smallest. Lagima Siddhi, lighter than the lightest. We can become so light, like that of a feather. And then we have Mahima Siddhi, to become greater than the greatest. Prapti Siddhi, by which we can touch anything in this world, any part of the world also we can touch anything. And then we can also take anything from any part of the world. We have Ishitva Siddhi. Yogi can create and destroy the planets at his will. And then we have Vashitva Siddhi, Vashikaran, as we say, where we can control people, bring them under our control. Prakamya, where a yogi can achieve anything he wanted. So when we hear such, wonderful results, so people get very much attached also to these things, forgetting the ultimate goal of Ashtanga Yoga. Like I mentioned, we may have the ticket of Pune, but then we may get allured at Lonavala, such a beautiful place, let me get down and enjoy, right? Forgetting about his ultimate goal. So that can be, become an obstacle actually. So many times devotees may also get this question, do the devotees who are practicing Bhakti Yoga, do they also have some mystic powers? Do they also have some magical powers? So during the time of Rasika Murari, Rasika Anand Prabhu, the disciple of Shamanand Pandit, so such questions were arised in the minds of his disciples. So because at that time there were many, fakirs, babajis at that time who were demonstrating, displaying a lot of mystical powers. So then they thought in their mind, devotees, whether they will also get these kind of powers or not. Just think, they were thinking like this. So one time one fakir, one baba, he had such powers that he would sit on the back of a tiger and he would wander here and there without any fear. So one time this fakir, sitting on the back of a tiger, he comes to the ashram of Rasikananda Prabhu. Just to show off that, how powerful I am. But then he also wanted to see Rasikananda Prabhu. He heard about him. He is such a very great saint. So he came to meet him. So at that time, Rasikananda Prabhu, he was sitting on a, broken wall, on the top of the wall, brushing his teeth with datun in a very simple way. So when he saw this person coming on the, sitting on the back of the tiger, so all the disciples, they were looking at his guru, Rasikananda Prabhu. So then he understood what was going on in their minds, what is the kind of doubts they were having. So with his mystical power, Rasikananda Prabhu actually started flying, sitting on that datun in front of that yogi, that baba. So he got bewildered. I am sitting on an animate object like tiger, but he is sitting on an inanimate object and flying in the sky. So he got bewildered. But then the point that he's trying to make to his disciples is that devotees are not concerned with these mystic powers. They are not interested in this. They are very much focused on their ultimate goal of pleasing Lord. Right? So we'll discuss also at the end more about this thing. So now comes about the Bhakti Yoga, how it is superior to Ashtanga Yoga. We'll discuss based on Bhagavad Gita also clearly mentions about this. So Bhakti Yoga is nothing but Nishkama Karma Yoga plus loving devotion. There is devotion also in the heart while we are performing any activity based on the scriptures. And the goal is to please the Lord, and which is very much practical in this age of Kali Yuga also. So our acharyas, they have given us such beautiful definitions of pure devotional service. Anya vilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavrittam anukulena krishnanushilanam bhaktir uttama. Right. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchyate. Such beautiful understanding of devotional service, which is free from the tinges of jnana and karma. Totally pure. Nothing in return. Only the goal is to please the Lord. Right. And as I mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, which is basically discussing about the Ashtanga Yoga process, Dhyana Yoga. But then at the end, it culminates into the ultimate level, you know, who a yogi can be. Right? In the verse, the last verse, 6.47, which says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatenantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamamatah. So it is clearly indicated, mentioned in this verse that, you know, of all the yogis, of all the yoga process, the devotee is the greatest yogi, and the process of bhakti yoga is the greatest of all the paths. Clearly mentioned. So now we'll discuss something interesting. So here in the last line, if you see, Krishna is mentioned, this is my opinion. Same yukta tama matah. So yukta tama is mentioned in the degrees of speech as in a superlative degree. The highest opinion. There can be nothing beyond that. And then Krishna also spoke about yukta, the word yukta in previous verses in the same chapter, 6th chapter in 6.18, 6.18, where he is mentioning what is the consciousness of a self-realized yogi. Jnana vijnana triptatma kutastho vijitendriya yukta it uchyate yogi samalostrashma kanchana. So here it is mentioned what is the consciousness of a yogi. So he is totally satisfied by virtue of his acquired knowledge and realizations that he has got. And he sees, he is totally self-controlled also. And he sees everything. The example given is the pebbles, stones or gold with the equal vision. He treats them as same thing. Right? So here the word that is being used is yukta. That means okay. If you take the degrees of speech, it is like, you know, the positive degree we can say. Right. So, but the focus here in this verse is detachment from the materialistic activities. Detachment from the negative which a yogi does not aspire. Right. No, I don't want this. I am detached from this. So that is the focus. And then if you see the 6.18th verse also, Yada viniyatam chittam atmani eva vatishtate nishpriya sarva kamebhyo yuktait uchyate tada. So here Krishna is mentioned, what are the other symptoms? Such a person is completely devoid of all the material desires. Again, here the word that has been used is yukta in a positive degree. So such a yogi is also well established in yoga. But again, the focus here is negative disconnection from the matter or materialistic activities. But when it comes to this particular verse, 6.47, where Krishna is mentioning yukta tamah, this is the superlative degree. This is the highest opinion that I can give on the process of bhakti yoga. Right? So the focus here is not just disconnection from Krishna, but the focus is more on connection to Krishna. Connection with the process of bhakti yoga, which is in a very positive manner. Right? So this stage of highest perfection, Prabhupada mentions in the purport of 6.47, This kind of perfection in yoga can be achieved, and he mentions this beautiful shloka. Yasya deve parad bhaktir, yata deve tata guru, tasyate katita yartha, prakashante mahatmana. So he says such level of perfection can be attained when we please Guru and Krishna by the process of bhakti yoga. So when we please them, all the imports of the Vedic scriptures are known to us. We can realize them. Right? So that is what we can see from the example of Prahlad Maharaj also. So he was just 5-year-old boy, but then he was able to please Krishna. And by pleasing Krishna, he understood all the imports. By pleasing his Guru Maharaj also, of course, Narad Muni, who gave him the transcendental knowledge. By pleasing both of them, Guru and Krishna, he achieved the highest perfection in his life. So, again, further discussing on this verse of 6.47. So, Bhakti Yoga also has all the aspects of Ashtanga Yoga. Like we have in Ashtanga Yoga, we perform action by performing asanas, pranayama, and so many things. So, action, Bhakti Yoga is full of action when compared to any other process. So many activities, especially when we come to ISKCON temple, we can see so many activities, so many festivals. People wonder, so many things happen in your temple all the time. Kuch na kuch chalta rehta yahan pe. Right? So many activities, so many festivals. So which we can perform with our body, engaging our body in Krishna conscious activities. That is the action part of Bhakti Yoga. And then comes the introspection part, which is also part of the Jnana Yoga, where there is contemplation. Right? So a devotee also contemplates based on the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam. He understands the futility of the material existence. Right? There is no happiness from material enjoyment. So that is the introspection which a devotee also does by reading scriptures, by understanding scriptures, using his intelligence in an introspecting. And the third is meditation. Yogi also meditates on the form of the Lord. And the devotee is also constantly engaged in meditation. All the day we can see, not all the day, at least two hours a day we can chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, absorbing our minds in chanting. Right? We have Anand Vrindavan Prabhu also sitting here. Not to embarrass him, but he's also so much absorbed in chanting and also inspiring so many others in the process of chanting, engaging our mind in thinking about Krishna. So not only that, we can also remember the pastimes of Krishna with one's mind. So the body, mind and intelligence, everything can be engaged, provided we have heart into it. It is mentioned that heart is the seat of all the emotions. So if heart is there, then we can actually engage all our faculties like body, mind and intelligence in performing the process of bhakti. So in this shloka, there are two very important words which are mentioned. We will discuss about that also. Shraddhavan bhajate yomam. Like Shraddhavan refers to the emotion that we put while practicing bhakti yoga. Right? The emotion that, of that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead and he loves us. So with that emotion, we can actually continue our process of bhakti yoga. At the end of the day, everyone is looking for happiness. Everyone wants that, someone loves him or he loves someone. Right? So Shraddhavan with the faith. So this aspect is there in Bhakti Yoga, where the emotions are also put into action. And then comes Bhajate, where there is action. So both are there. Emotions, bhavana is also there and there is also a lot of action that we can do. Yeah. But then, what are the problems with the process of Ashtanga Yoga, especially in this age of Kali Yuga? So, the destination may not be desirable for a devotee. A yogi at the most, he can get Brahman realization or Paramatma realization. Right? But for that, he has to go through so much hard labor, so much difficulty in, the process itself is so difficult. Especially, you have to go to a secluded place, to the forest. In this age of Kali Yuga, it's unimaginable. And then you have to sit straight. So many other such complications are there. But then it is very difficult in this age of Kali Yuga, which Prabhupada is focusing especially in his purport. So process is complex, and at the same time the destination is also not desirable for a devotee, which is it does not lead to the ultimate realization of the God, which is Bhagwan realization, right? And why this process is superior Bhakti Yoga, another reason can be given. Anyone can perform Bhakti Yoga, the process of Bhakti Yoga. Even a child can perform Bhakti Yoga. It is very difficult for child to perform Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. But then it is very easy to perform Bhakti Yoga. Right from the childhood, one can be engaged in this process. What to speak of children, even animals can be engaged in Bhakti Yoga. We have this classic example from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the dog which was following the group of Shivanand Sen, so because that was attached to the whole group and the Sankirtan was happening all the time, Katha was happening, so this dog also got the ultimate realization, ultimate perfection of his life. So that even an animal can perform Bhakti Yoga. I remember, I think it's still happening. Every alternate Monday we have this Sankirtan going on. I saw in some of the Sankirtans where one dog always try to participate. It comes, right, Prabhu? I saw the dog many times. Somehow, you know, it is participating in the Kirtan. It is going along with all the devotees. The whole trip it follows. So what kind of fortune the dog has, right? So anyone can perform Bhakti Yoga at any stage of life. Whether children, middle age, grown up, anyone can do it. So that is the greatness of Bhakti Yoga when compared to any other yoga also. And the example which Prabhupada mentions in the purport is that of Ambarish Maharaj. This episode of Ambarish Maharaj explains us how Bhakti Yoga is superior to Ashtanga Yoga. Bhakti Yogi is superior to Ashtanga Yogi. Right. So we will discuss briefly some of the points of this pastime. May not go into detail. So, Ambarish Maharaj, he was the emperor of the whole Bharatvarsha, consisting of, he was also owner of the seven islands, and he was surrounded by all the opulences. He was having all the prosperity of this earth, but then he was a Vaishnava king. So, he was having everything that everyone would aspire for, all different kinds of opulences, and he was having all of that. But then what was his consciousness? He was treating all of them like stone. Not greater than stone. So we see the same kind of consciousness in the Ashtanga Yogi also in Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter which I mentioned. So same kind of consciousness Ambarish Maharaj was also carrying. He was totally detached from all these opulences. Even though while he was living in the middle of such opulences. That was his consciousness. And he was performing Bhakti Yoga with all his limbs. Ek angi siddhi paila bahu bhaktagana ambarishadi bhaktera bahu anga sadhana. Some devotees, they perform some aspects of the Navavidha Bhakti. But then Ambarish Maharaji performed all the aspects of Navavidha Bhakti. Engaging all the faculties in the devotion unto the Supreme Lord. So how was he spending his whole day? What were his activities? That is also nicely mentioned in set of three verses. Savaya mana krishna pada arvindayor vacham sivaikunta gunanu varnane karau harer mandira marjanadishu shrutim chakarachyuta sat katodaye. So he would perform, he would meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna with his mind, with his words he would describe the glories of the Lord, with his hands he would clean the temple of the Lord. With his ears, he would hear the katha of Krishna, Krishna katha, Krishna kirtan. And then with his eyes, he would see the beautiful deities of Krishna. And he would visit places like Mathura, Vrindavan and see the beautiful temples there. And touch, he would engage his touch by touching the bodies of the devotees of the Lord. Smell, in smelling the fragrance of the tulsi offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. And the legs in walking to the holy places, right, like we go for yatras, head by bowing down in front of the Supreme Lord, and his desires to serve the Lord. So this was his schedule, everyday schedule. Can you imagine the emperor of this world engaged in so many activities? So no one can say that I don't have any time. When a personality like Ambarish Maharaj was the emperor, he was able to do all these activities. Right? And he would not have any kind of desires except to please the Lord and please the Praja by also engaging them in the process of Bhakti Yoga. Right? And he was totally focused, his understanding was very clear. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Right? Goal is to please the Supreme Lord. And he knows Krishna is the ultimate beneficiary of everything that we do. Bhaktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Lokameshwaram Suhrudam Sarva Bhutanam Gnyatma Mam Shantim Richati. So he had this understanding very clear. Right? I'm just the caretaker. I have to please the Lord. I have to engage my followers also in the process of Bhakti Yoga. That was very clear to him. And he would spend this kind of life based on the, you know, instruction or guidance from the Brahmanas and the devotees who were there in his ministry. Right? So he was a perfect devotee, he was a perfect king, and all the followers, even all the Praja in his kingdom, they were devotees. Can you imagine this kind of situation? Right? If you had this kind of situation in today's time, that would be nothing. It's a Vaikuntha Loka actually. We cannot even compare it to Satya Loka, Satya Yuga. Something like, you know, we are living in Vaikuntha only. That was the kind of kingdom that he had. And then he would perform different kind of yajnas also to please the Lord and for the benefit of the Praja. Right? Paradukha Dukhi. That was always his consciousness. He would perform different kinds of yajnas, and Prabhupada mentions the ultimate yajna for this age of Kali Yuga is Sankirtana Yajna, chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Right. So he would always think about the welfare of his Praja. How I can benefit them. The ultimate benefit, ultimate welfare activity that we can do is engaging them also in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Right. So his devotees, his Praja was, they were also all the devotees. So he would perform Bhakti Yoga all 24 hours a day. Right. So because he was totally absorbed in performing Bhakti Yoga, so that's why he was able to be detached from the materialistic activities. Right. Griheshu Dareshu Suteshu Bandhushu Dvipottama Sandana Vaji Vastushu Akshaya Ratna Bharana Ambaradishu Ananta Kosheshu Akarod Asanmatim. So he was able to be detached from all these things. Right? What is that? Griheshu. Home, family life. So although he was taking care of the duties of the family life, but he was doing that in the mood of detachment. Dareshu, wives, Suteshu, children, Bandushu, friends and relatives. It is very difficult to be detached from these things. I remembered one lady, she was asking this question to me in one of the satsang programs. Prabhuji, we see our parents, they are always concerned or full on, they are always in anxiety about the welfare of their children. But then I also see my grandparents always in anxiety, thinking about what will happen to their grandchildren. Will he get a job? Will he get a nice wife or husband? So when will this end? How long, you know, people go on living such anxious life, such kind of anxiety. So this is the situation, right? In today's time, there is no retirement from family life. People begin to plan to live after 58 years. When they get retired, they plan so many things. Build a home, so many plans. So there is no retirement only in that sense. So then he was so detached, although he was surrounded by all these affectionate people around him, but then he was detached. Why? Because he was absorbed in Krishna. And then Sandana chariots, he was having first class horses, jewels. In today's times, this can be the cars, the vehicles that people have. Ratna, Abharana, ornaments and jewels, ambaradishu dresses and ornaments, anantakosheshu inexhaustible treasury. So we cannot even imagine. I can't even say that imagine. We can't even imagine this kind of opulence anyone can have in today's time. At the same time, the person is so detached. Right? Because he was totally absorbed in Krishna. Param drishtva nivartate. Because of the higher taste that he was receiving in the performance of bhakti, he was able to get detached from all these things. That is, so this kind of detachment is only possible when we have the higher taste. So he was also not interested in any kind of mystical opulences. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakale, ashant. Krishna bhakta nishkama, ateva, shant. Right? So those people who are hankering for the things of this world, they are always restless. They cannot sit in one place and be absorbed in Lord. They have to run all the time. Restlessness. But then a devotee, he is completely free from any kind of material desires. He is very shant, he is very peaceful. Because he is nishkama, no desires for sense enjoyment. He may have desires for the Lord, to please the Lord, to expand the mission of the Lord, to fulfill the mission of the Lord. He may get into anxiety, but that is desiring for Krishna. So, because he was experiencing higher taste, he was able to detach, as I mentioned. Yeah. So Ambarish Maharaj, he was perfectly following this principle of Yukta Vairagya. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatharam Upayunjata Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagya Muchyate. So he was utilizing all the opulences, all the facilities that he was having in the service of the Lord. Right. A devotee, he doesn't say no to the objects of this world. He accepts them as the mercy of Krishna and then utilizes that in the service of Krishna. That is the principle that he was following perfectly, Yukta Vairagya. Alright. So, seeing his absorption in the Supreme Lord, the kind of life he was leading, totally Krishna conscious life, the Lord was so pleased that he gave his own Sudarshan Chakra to him for the protection of his devotee. Right. So this is very interesting. In Bhakti Yoga, we can see the intervention of the Lord so much. Right. His mercy. The mercy factor is very much can be seen while we are performing Bhakti Yoga. The endeavor is also there in performing Bhakti. The endeavor on our part is also 100%. But then there is also mercy that is received from Krishna. That makes the package of Bhakti Yoga complete. Our endeavor and then Krishna's mercy. Damodar Leela. So, Kaunte Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Krishna can never see his devotees getting defeated. He always makes sure that they are protected. So like this, he was spending his life in bhakti. And then one day what happened? An Atithi came without any invitation, Dhruvas Muni. And at that time he took a vow of 1 year of vrata he was doing, Ekadashi and Dwadasha vrata he was doing for one full year, and that was also for the benefit, welfare of his praja. So Dhruvasa Muni, he was a mystic yogi. He had all the mystic powers. He came without any invitation. And he was thinking Ambarish Maharaj to be an ordinary person, some ordinary king. So he came there. Ambarish Maharaj became so happy. So he invited him and then he told him, please have some prasad. So, to which he agreed, but then he went to take bath. So when he came, by the time he came back, Ambarish Maharaj was thinking, I have almost completed this vrata now, I have to break this vrata, break this fast. But how can he do that without feeding my guest? But then with the consultation of devotees, he came to a conclusion that with water he can break the fast. It is as good as breaking and also not breaking the fast when we take some water. So with their consultation, he did that. But then Dhruvasa Muni, as you all of you know, he became so angry. And he started blaspheming Ambarish Maharaj. How can you do this? Are you thinking that you are God? So how can you break this rule of not feeding the guest before the host, you know, actually takes honor of the prasadam. So in this way he became so angry. But then with humble demeanor, with his folded hands, Ambarish Maharaj was just standing in front of him. And because he was so angry, Durvasmani, he created a demon with his mystic powers to kill Ambarish Maharaj. So the so-called Ashtanga yogis can also go to such an extent of, you know, getting so much of angry and physically harming someone. But all the time, what was the consciousness and attitude of Ambarish Maharaj? He was simply standing humbly and just remembering the Supreme Lord. Not even, you know, praying to the Lord for his protection, like Prahlad Maharaj. He was just remembering the Supreme Lord. So in this way, Durvasmani, he became so angry, he wanted to kill Ambarish Maharaj. But as you know, Krishna gave his Sudarshan Chakra to protect his devotee. Sudarshan Chakra came and destroyed this demon. And then he started following Durvasmani to kill him. So Durvasmani understood, then I took a panga, which I did a wrong thing, and I mistaken this great devotee. Then he started running, traveling all the universe, different caves, different mountains, trying to seek shelter of different sages, saints, but he could not get any shelter. He went to Brahmaji and Shivaji. They also said, we can't help you. We can't protect you from this Sudarshan Chakra. You go, better go to Lord Narayan. And he comes there. And to his dismay, even Lord Narayan says that I cannot protect you from my own Sudarshan Chakra. Only my devotee can save you. Go and beg forgiveness. Aham Bhakta Paradhin. I am controlled by the love and devotion of my devotees. Right? I can't do anything. You better go to Ambarish Maharaj. So in this way, at the end, Durvasmani had to come and fall at the lotus feet of Ambarish Maharaj, begging forgiveness. Then he understands his mistakes, that, you know, the devotees of the Lord, although they may appear very ordinary, but they are very powerful. Why? Because the Lord's Abhay Hasta is there on their heads. The Lord is there always to protect his devotees. So that's how the whole process of Bhakti Yoga makes it superior over Ashtanga Yoga, where there is protection of Krishna. Mercy of Krishna factor is also there. And there is fulfillment of heart also, because it is directly touching the heart, directly touching the soul. So in this way, a lot of things are there. We don't have much time. One last thing before I end. We also see many examples in scriptures where people took to Ashtanga Yoga, but then their desires for something else, like Hiranyakashipu, he also took the process of Ashtanga Yoga. But then his desire was to get name, fame, recognition, strength, power, influence in this world. So this kind of tapasya is in the mode of ignorance, where the object is to get some powers, to harm others, and to wanting to achieve something which is impossible. So that is tapasya in the mode of ignorance. Although such kind of tapasya no one did till now, but then it is not the highest, and that's why he did not get the highest thing also. On the other side, we can see Dhruva Maharaj, who also was given the process of Ashtanga Yoga in the beginning, and then Narad Muni also gave him the process of Bhakti Yoga, deity worship, chanting the holy names of the Lord, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So in this way, he was giving, because it was Satyoga at that time, so Ashtanga Yoga was very prominent. So he was given this process, but along with that, Narad Muni mercifully gave him devotional service also. Although he had desires to fulfill, his goal was not Narayan, his goal was to get opulence greater than Brahmaji. But then Narad Muni tricked him into Bhakti Yoga also. And that's how we can see his heart was purified by the process of Bhakti Yoga. And he achieved all the things. He got the opulence of this world. He ruled his kingdom. Next life, he was supposed to go to Dhruva Loka, and after that, back to Godhead. He got all the three things. Right. So we also see examples of Kardama Muni and Pachetas who performed Ashtanga Yoga, but they wanted Supreme Lord. The goal was, the objective was Supreme Lord. So that is how they achieved the desire that their father had, you know, so that, you know, they can get married. So that was also fulfilled, but their heart's desire was to achieve the mercy of the Supreme Lord, which they also got. So the process of Ashtanga Yoga, the fear is that it may The side benefits are many, like mystic siddhis, and people may get attached to it, or people may even become proud because of these powers. But then mercifully, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us a very balancing factor, which helps us to become proud at any time. Trinadapi shuni chena, tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This one verse, if we could follow in our life, you know, by mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we can always be safe from getting proud because of, and we can also see the devotees of the Lord, they never display if they have some kind of mystical powers, and or they don't even demonstrate the ecstatic symptoms. Like Prabhupada also, he would always restrain his emotions. But sometimes then he would do that, very rarely. But mostly devotees, you know, they don't show off. We saw the example of His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, how he perfected the process of Archanam. So we saw that video. Even while he was sleeping, he was doing deity worship. Right? The ultimate samadhi, which Ashtanga Yogi aspires, we can see in the contemporary times, in the devotees, like Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, totally absorbed, even while sleeping, or to speak of while someone is awake. So that is highly possible in the process of Bhakti Yoga. We can achieve all the aspects of Ashtanga Yoga and much more than that. The ultimate realization of Bhagavan and the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. Sorry for going a little beyond, but then some important points which I wanted to share. So thank you all very much for your kind and patient attention. Grateful to you. Grantra Srimad Bhagavat Puran ki, Srila Prabhupad ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
Who? Wait.